Asniv, come and grab a seat. It's always a joy to have Asniv with us. Many of us know Asniv, but some won't. So hopefully over the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get to know a little bit more about Asniv and the work that she does. Many of us know something of the work of Christians Against Poverty. If we're in a Connect group or one of the other groups in the church, we'll at the moment be putting together hampers for CAP clients. And of course, yesterday, our church bazaar that raised around £4,000 it was in aid of the work of Christians Against Poverty. But not all of us will know Asniv. So first of all, tell us, what is CAP? What does it do? And, you know, just something about it.
I'm going to do it slightly differently, actually. Christians Against Poverty was started 22 years ago by a man called John Kirkby, who was a very wealthy man, managed to lose it all, and because of his background in financial services, began to work his way out of his situation. And from that, he discovered that he had several friends in similar circumstances to himself and started off by helping one or two people with just £10 in his pocket. 22 years later, we have 270 centres, debt centres like mine throughout this country. We have 600 other services, including job clubs and release groups for people with addiction issues and life skills courses, just talking about basic life skills, throughout this country. But we also work in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and now America as well. But my debt centre is essentially a debt counselling centre. It's a service offering free advice to people in their own homes who have just been overwhelmed by the volume of debt that they have. Maybe they're stressed with people with letters they're getting, people knocking on the door, enforcement agents knocking on the door and threatening to take away their goods. Incessant phone calls asking for that last £15-20 they've got to service the debt, where maybe that's the only money they have with which to buy food for their families. So what we will do is we will come alongside clients, we'll prepare a budget for them, and we will use any extra money the client has to repay their debt. We have no money ourselves to do that. Open about that. We have no money to repay clients' debts. We are simply helping them to repay their money, their debt, using their money. And the main thing there is that it takes the stress off the client of having to deal with creditors. Maybe 10, 15 creditors, each one asking for £50, £100 repayment a month, whereas actually the budget may show they've only got £20 extra a month with which to repay debts. Whatever their circumstances, we will have an answer for each client. And we just walk alongside of them to bring hope, to bring clarity, to bring friendship, to bring encouragement. And our hope is that they're going to see their self-esteem restored, because so many have lost that sense of dignity that they have as human beings. And we want to see that restored in each client.
That sounds great. How many clients have you worked with over the years? Are we talking like 20, 100?
Over the 10 years that I've been the centre manager, I would think it's more in the region of 400 to 500 clients.
400 to 500 clients.
Yes. And at the moment, I've got 27 ongoing clients, but five clients have become debt-free this year, which is fantastic. And I should think over that 10 years or so that I've been working, it would be in the region of coming up to 100 clients who've become debt-free.
And are some of them still working to become debt-free?
Yes. Okay. So a lot of those 27 are in the process of becoming debt-free through repayment of debt.
Yeah. And so the whole process of repaying debt for some people can take many years.
It can take up to 5 years. And in fact, I had a client this year who completed their 5 years, and they are now debt-free. And I think you're doing a hamper for them. I won't tell you which one it is. But I rang her and I said, would you like to get another hamper? She said, oh, yes, she said. The kids look forward to it so much. They really enjoy getting the hamper. And she said it would just be sort of a completion of the whole process if we got another hamper now that we are debt-free. She was absolutely thrilled at, you know, how we'd supported them
Fantastic.
And your church as well over the last 5 years.
So perhaps we can come back and talk about hampers in a moment, because there might be people here who don't know about them. Now, that Bible passage that we had read, that Ben read to us earlier on, you chose that specifically. What, you know, how does the Bible influence what you are doing?
For me, the gospel is about the Lord Jesus coming and touching us as individuals and bringing his salvation, bringing his wholeness, bringing his healing, bringing his life, because the Bible promises each one of us abundant life through Jesus Christ. But that's only half the gospel for me. The other half is, having received that, I then have that desire and the longing and the compunction. I can't not do it. I have to go out there and to tell other people the good news that Jesus has brought to them, the same things that he's given to me. But part of that and part of loving is action. I think loving is an action word. So how can I go to somebody who's desperately hungry, they've got to choose between feeding their children and maybe putting money on the meter for gas? How can I say to them, God loves them, and walk away? I have to show them that God loves them. And part of the reading that we've just had is the practical outpouring of God's love, which combined with the salvation of Jesus, for me, makes up the whole of Scripture and the whole of the good news of Jesus. So if I might just give you an example of how that worked out. In September, early September this year, I met a guy who told me he'd been on the streets last winter. He'd spent the whole winter sleeping out. I said, why didn't you use the night shelter? He said, oh, no. He said, I couldn't cope with being enclosed, and I had to keep on sleeping outside. And then in the spring, he was put into a halfway home. He got a place in a halfway home and had been there for 2 or 3 months. And just as I met him, he had been informed that he was going to get a bedsit, which was fantastic news. But the bedsit was completely empty. There was nothing in it at all. And it needed decorating because it hadn't been inhabited for a while. And it just needed everything doing to it. There was no floor. It just needed everything doing to it. So I went away, and I knew that we had a community day coming up at St. Paul's. And I just put it to Mark that maybe this might be somebody that we could help in a practical way to show God's love for him. And Mark agreed, and I spoke to him, and I said, look, this is what we'd like to do. And he said, I'm waiting for some money to come through from the council. They're going to give me a grant to buy paint and paint my flat. So I said, okay, that's great. But the 22nd of September was coming up, which was the day, you know, of our thing, and he still hadn't had the money come through. So I went back to Mark, and Mark said, look, we've got plenty of paint that we can use. So we'll go in, we'll paint the flat for him. And I said, that's great, but he hasn't got any furniture. He's got no bed, absolutely nothing. This man has come in off the street, and there's absolutely nothing there for him. And we have a sister charity called Beetham that also runs out of St. Paul's. And I work alongside Joe, who runs Beetham. And I said, Joe, is there any way you could help on the 22nd? Because Mark's agreed we can go in and paint. But this man has nothing. He hasn't even got a bed. So having painted on that Saturday, Jo then went in with her Beetham charity, and Beetham provide very good quality second-hand furniture for those. They take from those who have, or they're given from those who have, and they supply for those who are in dire need. And they supplied absolutely everything for this man, down to towels, not only the bed, but the bedding, pillows, duvet covers, even a mat for the bathroom, you know, and there was a mat put onto the floor in the bed sit. Absolutely everything, all the kitchen stuff he needed. And he was just blown away. He rang me on the Monday and he said, I can't believe it, he said. What have you done? This is incredible. Thank you so much. And each time I talk to him now, all he can say is thank you. And it's a great opportunity to talk of the love of Jesus in the generosity of the love of Jesus, and how he loves us generously, and how can we do anything else but love equally generously. And if I may give another story.
Yeah, I was just going to say, before you do, you know, just you mentioned Beesom.
Yes.
You know, if anyone here has got furniture they need to get rid of, contact Beesom.
Yeah.
You know, we've done it ourselves. Beesom will take your sofa, bed or whatever and give it to someone in need. So, you know, a great way of recycling and blessing other people. Mm. Carry on.
Thank you. So that was a practical outpouring of God's love, shown in a practical way. And then I met another chap about the same time, early September this year. He was very deep in depression. Hadn't got a job, hadn't been able to work for a while. Was really quite lost. He owned his flat, was about to be taken to court for repossession because he hadn't been paying his mortgage, huge service charges. He's got a lot of debt. And I offered to pray for him at the end of our first meeting. He said, oh, yes, please. And then he said, gosh, he said, I can just see a little chink of light in the darkness. He calls his depression the darkness. And he just said, I'm beginning to see a very, very small chink of light in the darkness. And I said, that's great. I said, and then we went on to talk about how he could carry on talking to God himself and that God was always with him. And that, you know, as he did so, that light would get stronger and stronger. But each time I've met with him, I've prayed with him, and each time he says, that light is getting bigger, that light is getting bigger. It is beginning to devour the darkness, and those are his words, which are so scriptural, of course. And then I met with him 2 weeks ago, and he started to tell me a little bit about his story. And he was sadly abused as a child by Christians who his parents used to send him away on holiday to stay with these Christian friends. And unfortunately, they did abuse him. But when he told his parents didn't believe him. And so they kept sending him back to this place. And so he felt betrayed by not only the people who'd abused, but also his parents as well for not believing him. And he's got a lot of mistrust towards Christians, understandably. And yet, so I just kept talking to him about Jesus and Jesus' love for him and his ability to heal and enable him to forgive. And so 2 weeks ago, he was telling me that story. And he also said, do you know, he said, just before I met you, I decided I was going to commit suicide because life was so dark, I couldn't see a way out of my situation. And he said, I thought about it for a while. I planned what I was going to do. I knew exactly when I was going to do it, where I was going to do it. And he was going to walk in front of a train, he'd decided. And he decided the time and the date he would do it. And this was in August this year. And he said, I knew that the trains came along every 3 minutes. So I knew that I didn't have to wait long. I could get there any time and I wouldn't have to wait too long. And he said, I went on the appointed day I decided and the time I decided, I went, and he said there was a delay on the line and the trains didn't come for 15 minutes, during which time he obviously, something changed for him, and he said when the train finally did come, instead of walking in front of it, I got on it. And I said, praise God that you did, because now he's, that light within him, the light of Jesus, has made such a difference to him. And so those two stories together, for me, make up CAP. They make up the gospel. This is why I love doing CAP, because I love to see the healing of Jesus come into broken lives. But I also like to see and to be part of the practical outworking of the love of Jesus into the lives of those who maybe don't know him yet, but I'm praying that they will.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things I love about CAP is the kind of the two things that you do, you know, the stuff that's listed here in Matthew 25, you know, kind of getting alongside and helping people, but also sharing something of the love of Jesus with them. Do you see people come to faith in the work that you're doing?
I have seen people come to faith. I mean, I think those guys I've spoken to you about are on their journey towards really knowing Jesus as their saviour. I think they're on that journey. But there is one particular lady that comes to mind who had a very dire situation when I first met her, and her child was in special measures. She had meetings with social services. She had child protection issues. And I started going along to the meetings Child Protections, with the social services, with her as her advocate. And she was a Hindu. And as we progressed in our relationship, the Hindu gods, one day I realised, had gone. And she'd put a crucifix there, and she'd put pictures and images of angels and things. And I thought, okay, that's great, that's a good start.
This is in her house, her flat.
In her house, yeah. And then she came to me one day, and she said, I had a dream, she said, and God spoke to me. And he told me that Jesus is his son, and that I need to worship Jesus. And she said, I saw a picture of a church. And when I came to see you in your church, it was your church that I saw, so I'm going to come here. Although she lived in Southall. And I kept saying to her, but there are lots of lovely churches in Southall. She said, no, no. She said, God showed me this church. I'm going to come here. And she had a real conversion experience, to the point where she then became one of the greatest evangelists I know. And every week she'd have another story of how she'd met somebody at a bus stop, and she'd spoken to them and told them about Jesus and got praying for them, and they'd been healed, or they'd seen this happen or that happen. And it was absolutely wonderful. And she's still going on in God, and it's great. It's great to see that. And this is a lady who was a Hindu before.
Okay. So, Asni, if you do this job, do you have a team of staff in Ealing working with you?
I have some support workers who are all volunteers. And together we go to clients' homes together, because I'm not supposed to go on my own, so we do go together, but they are also there to support clients if, when they're in need, to maybe take them out for coffee. We try to give clients something special from time to time, which they themselves can't afford, so we'll go out maybe to Pembroke Lodge in Richmond Park for lunch or something every so often. And you know, they're so overwhelmed, because okay, they don't
treats.
Have the time for that. And support workers are really important in that, because that's where I can't go and help 27 people full time, but support workers can.
So if we know of someone who's got financial challenges, who's in debt, can they become a client of CAMP?
Yes, absolutely.
How do we go about helping them to
do
that?
I have some leaflets out there, and there's a free phone number on there, which clients do need to ring themselves, because that reveals a level of engagement with the process.
Yeah.
And clients then are... that goes up to Bradford, which is where our head offices are, and they control my diary, so they will put clients into the next available slot. And at the moment, it's February, sadly, my next available slot. But I do try to see clients. I'll call them as soon as they come on board, and I'll try to see them sooner if possible, because I know everybody's so anxious and so worried about their situation. So that would be the way to do it.
Okay, that's helpful. Yeah. So how can we support you and the work of Ealing Christians Against Poverty? What else can we do? We had a bazaar yesterday, we raised some money, we give you part of our mission tithe every year. Yeah. What else can we do?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your financial support, because without that, I wouldn't be able to work. and also my clients wouldn't be able to give them all the special treats and things that we do enjoy giving to them, and which they is such a blessing for them. But at the moment, we've got a Christmas lunch coming up on the 11th of December, and 22, I think, of my clients that I've actually asked have agreed to come to that. So it's a lovely lunch. It's a full Christmas lunch with turkey and all the trimmings, because a lot of clients won't actually have that at Christmas. A lot of them, especially who live on their own, will say, we'll just shut the door and watch TV all day, and that will be our Christmas. We'll just sort of wait until it's all over. So we'd love to do that for them. But please pray that they do come, firstly so they can enjoy it, they can have fun together and enjoy each other's company, but also we have an evangelistic talk. And I would love to see my clients not only getting the physical help and the financial help we give, but I would love to see each one knowing Jesus for themselves and the wholeness that they can have through him. So, yes, please pray for that particular day that clients will come. And just generally, life is so difficult for clients at the moment. With universal credit, it is hard. And there's a deeper sense of despair and hopelessness than there ever has been before. And to the extent that even when we present them with the budget and we say, look, we can help you do this, it may take time, or it might be advice that you're not happy with and you don't really want to take or listen to, but we can help you. But they are in such deep despair and so lacking in hope that they just can't follow through. And it's all too much for them. And they say, I'll have to go away and think about it. And often that's when we lose them, sadly. So I would just love it if the clients would actually have the strength and the courage to engage with the solutions that we're offering to them and the hope that we're giving to them.
Okay, thank you. Can we just say something about hampers? Because many of us know about them, but not everyone will. So we, various groups, Connect groups, Youth Group, Children's Group, are putting hampers together. What are they and how does that all work?
So hampers are yet another way to bless clients, particularly at Christmas. Again, many will have children, although this year, strangely enough, a lot of my clients are single men, middle-aged men. Again, money is tight. For families, money will be tight. And so it's just another way of blessing a family or an individual with something special, something they wouldn't normally be able to afford for themselves. And people, groups often, or sometimes individuals, will get together and prepare a lovely hamper with good quality stuff that maybe a client wouldn't be able to afford for themselves during the year. And just another way of expressing God's love, basically, to the client and saying, this is how God loves us and we want to love you and this is how God loves you.
Okay. And they're sort of luxury things that probably you wouldn't, you know, the luxury ranges rather than the value ranges.
Yes, that's right. So luxury baked beans instead of regular baked beans, or luxury cakes instead of whatever is not a luxury cake.
And so if you are here today and not in a Connect group and you're not associated with already putting one of these hampers together and you would want to, have a word with Sam, with me, or with Caroline, and we'll kind of point you in the direction of someone else and you can buy something and put it in the hamper, because it's just a lovely way of, you know, I've been a part of this for a few years now, and whenever we deliver a hamper to someone, it just lights up, you know, the home, really, just to see this box of goodies. So if you want to be a part of that, please do so.